A think tank is prodding NASA to unleash something called Griffin X. The Griffin X is a potential breakthrough in cybersecurity developed by NASA's Ames Research Center. But it's been on ice since last year. In his weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about the Griffin X and why NASA's reluctance is part of its ongoing cybersecurity problems. Jason joins me now. And Jason, Griffin X sounds exotic, and as you have written in previous weeks, NASA has serious cyber problems. What's going on?
Well, let's start with what Griffin X is. Now, this is, again, a proposal from Ames Research Center to say, hey, we think there's a breakthrough technology or a breakthrough concept of how to really treat cybersecurity differently. Basically, for once, try to get ahead of the hackers instead of always being behind the hackers. Now, Tom, we know this. We've been covering this for a long time. You're never going to get ahead of every hacker. You're never going to be always in front of every attacker. But there are things that agencies and organizations can do to get at least a step forward. And I think this is part of it. So the Griffin X is broken into four pieces. There's a physical facility that would be hosted by Ames Research Center that would host classified and unclassified components, cutting-edge, advanced, applied cyber research and development, testing and evaluation, and even training on mission-critical and emerging technologies. It would also include a virtual and physical advanced training institute, and it would include a virtual cyber range that would be living in the cloud. And of course, it would have cybersecurity information sharing and integration capabilities. The real piece to this, according to James Scott, who is the co-founder and a senior fellow of the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology, ICIT, they're the ones who put out this bulletin calling for NASA really to unleash the Griffin X. He says really is this cloud cyber range. The reason why he says this is so important is because it's that you could take basically virtualized technologies, whether it's your critical infrastructure like a SCADA system or some kind of door operating system lets you in and out, and test them in a live environment and understand what the vulnerabilities are. You could bring in red teams. You could bring in the best of the best to attack these technologies and see where the holes are and then fix those holes before the attackers figure out the holes are. So basically, you have to think like an attacker.
So why is NASA not so excited about releasing this whole project?
It's unclear why NASA is not excited. Now, I did reach out to NASA. I'm still waiting a comment. I was hopeful to have one by this morning, but unfortunately, we have not had one yet. I am hearing from sources that there may be some kind of announcement that was coming maybe late Monday, maybe on Tuesday morning. So we'll see what happens. But basically, what you know, the James Scott said from ICIT is, We came out. We think it's a good idea. We've talked to NASA. We've talked to people on the Hill, and there's just not a lot of movement on it. And he was surprised that here you have this interesting concept. Is it perfect? Maybe not. Is it ready to walk out the door and turn it on? You know, who knows? But the point is that they're not even entertaining it in their eyes. And ICIT believes that they should entertain it. They should take a look at this because as we reported just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, NASA has a serious cybersecurity problem. Now, listen, every agency is struggling. This is not NASA by themselves. But as we reported about a month ago, Tom, a month-long investigation showed NASA has millions, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of patches, software patches that are either expired or needed of updates. And that's causing their systems and data to be at risk. And what this idea of Griffin X, as according to James Scott, again from ICIT, said, it goes back to this idea of mission, which NASA is very focused on, and cybersecurity cannot be separated. And he believes, as well as others, that NASA cannot bring those two together very well yet. And until they do, that's why they're struggling.
And that kind of confirms what you had reported earlier, is the fact that NASA is not looking at this in an integrated way, but they look at cyber as that's the IT shop problem.
Correct.
That's got nothing to do with my going to Mars.
Right.
Maybe I'm exaggerating, but that general split is happening.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And what this idea of Griffin X is supposed to do is not just for critical infrastructure, but could be used for any kind of technology. You know, to go to Mars, they could say, well, let's bring this in and really hit it with the best of the best red teams and white hat hackers and see if we can find holes and let's fix those holes. And then as you send a satellite, as you send a rocket to Mars, you are more safe than you were a month ago, a week ago, a year ago, because you have this concept, this proposal in place now.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, and also on the Cybersecurity Initiative, you write about something where there is movement, and that is on the Homeland Security's CDM, Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program. what is happening there. That one's been quiet for a little while.
It seems that way, doesn't it? You know, maybe the fall and winter, the things are kind of still moving in the right direction, just you hadn't heard much about it. Well, DHS and GSA, who acts as the procurement arm for the CDM program, released a task order for another $10 to $12 million worth of tools. That's what they're asking industry for. And these tools really are fascinating. They're really all about managed trust, managed security-related behavior, managed credentials, and manage account and access management. So we hear the word managed a lot, right? So somebody coming in saying...
Managed management.
Yes. Who are you and what are you doing here and what access do you have? And then this is under phase two of CDM. And so that RFQ, actually, the bids to that RFQ are due March 30th, so later this week. And that should send agencies down the next path of more advanced tools.
So this would be to create a contract vehicle filled with tools?
No. Contract's already a vehicle, right? The CDM contract.
But this is a task order under
task order
it.
Under it. That contract. If you remember, Tom, about a year and a half ago or so, DHS and GSA made an award of about $60 million to some of those vendors to the first set of tools. Now, this is the second set major buy of tools. They, of course, have plenty of services that they've been releasing and awarding contracts for.
So the tools could end up at any agency, but DHS is the one making the task order.
Correct. And in fact, the tools are mandatory for 56 agencies and another 9 that they're optional, the very smallest kind of quasi-government type of agencies. So this is a major buy. This is going to affect every agency. The other thing that DHS did is release really the draft requirements for what they call phase 3 of CDM. Phase 1 started about a year and a half ago. We're in the middle of phase 2. We're at the very beginning of phase 2. And now NASA, again, DHS and GSA are getting ready for phase 3. And we have that linked up. Now, phase 3 is all about boundary protection. And they go through different boundaries. Boundary F, this is around network filters and controls. Boundary E is for encryption. And boundary P is for physical access control systems. And we have both those documents linked up on federalnewsradio.com for people to read for themselves. But it's interesting. They're making some progress. It's real progress. The only thing I could tell you, Tom, is that from a critical perspective, they need to go faster. I've heard from many times from industry, from CIOs that I talk to, there needs to be a sense of urgency around CDM. It's not the silver bullet. No one's saying that, but it's not moving fast enough.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Thanks so much, as always, for that update.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
You can read his Inside the Reporter's Notebook now at federalnewsradio.com and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.